You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. I apologize for not starting sharply at 4, but I had an emergency in the sense that I had a last-minute cancellation of a course I was going to be taking in the spring. I usually take one or two free courses because I'm an emeritus student here, which means I've paid a lot of money, and now there's no additional charge if you're over a certain age, which I am. So, therefore, I take advantage of that, and I'm going to take, and I fortunately was lucky to run into the person responsible for canceling the course. I asked him, was it going to be presented? It wasn't, so I was fortunate to find a replacement, and I had to take all that, take care of that, really prior to the show, because you only have today or tomorrow to do this, and tomorrow is my 3 to 5 2-hour show. And for my listeners, I'm still behind in the post-production. I've actually done 2 out of 3 shows, because in the last 2 shows, Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, we did not have a show. There were some scheduling problems, but I'm back on the air today and will be from here on out until the semester ends. And usually right now my show is scheduled for daily Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5, and then from on Fridays from 3 to 5. And that will be the schedule for the spring semester, unless other students need the 4 to 5 time slot. Usually they don't, because most students do not want to be on campus at the late hour. They're either going home or they're coming to the campus. So I'm pretty sure that the 4 to 5 time slot Monday through Thursday, I will be giving my 1-hour daily show. And then on Friday, I'll be giving my weekly wrap-up of both shows during that week, as well as what I think the news breaking news stories will be for the coming week. Now, just before I came in, I double-checked the Drudge Report to see if there's any breaking news, and guess what? The National Security Agency is the cover story, and this was regarding their collection every day of millions of text messages. I'm going to really cover that story Friday, but what caught my eye, I read the article that was breaking this story, and there's a phrase that it's very interesting, and I don't know if it was the newspaper that the writer used this phrase, or he got it from whatever sources he has at the National Security Agency, assuming he has any, but the phrase was untargeted collection and storage. Now, that means a lot to me, and if you listen to several of my shows on the National Security Agency and what they're doing, there is a very important distinction between those are targeted, untargeted collection and storage, what they're talking about. And let's use this show for an example. Right now, I'm broadcasting a show over the internet. And after the show's over, I will do some post-production and we'll post it to my blog. For those that are not familiar with the companion blog for this show, it's prontpops.wordpress.com. That's prontpops, prontpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, there are links to the usually the last 50 to 60 shows, and below that, you have a complete archive of all my shows, as well as information about them. So if you're new to the show, that's how you listen to it if you're not listening to it when I actually do the broadcast. And I always say about 99.9999% of my listeners listen to the podcast. And the reason is they listen to the show at their convenience. Either they download it and listen in their iPad or iPhone, whatever, or they stream it at their convenience, though, whenever they have the time. A few people do listen to the show, believe it or not, when I broadcast it. I know that is true. But most of the people are listening via podcast. Now, that podcast, and I'm going to send it up, they'll intercept it. That's what they're doing. Anything that goes over the internet or anything that goes over telephone lines or the telephone exchanges, the National Security Agency is collecting that information and storing it. And keep in mind, they're not, and this is why the word untargeted is very, very descriptive. They're not specifically going after my broadcast today or my podcast when I ever upload this, or any of my specific emails or anything that I do over the internet or the phone. No, they're collecting for the entire world, including everyone in the United States. You know, the world population includes the United States. So what they're doing is collecting all the information that goes over the internet, all messages, all communication messages, whatever form they take. We're talking content, and it's important. So the actual phone conversations, your photographs, podcasts, emails, all your financial transactions. If you use your credit card, they have it. Your bank statements. Anything that you do over the internet as well, through the telephone exchanges. Ladies and gentlemen, the National Security Agency has copies of that in one of its databases. Now, they have several, or data centers. They have several of these. The newest and the biggest is at Bluffdale, Utah. That doesn't mean it's necessarily going there, but they built those data centers, and they're huge, to collect all this information, not for a day, a month, a year, a decade, for the next 100 years. Because you need a lot of storage capacity, and they have it. Because that's a lot of messages or communications, however you want to describe it, files. So they're storing it. They're collecting it and storing it. And the reason they can do this is that this information goes over fiber optic lines or cables. And what that means is they have the technology where it'll go wherever you're sending it. It'll go where you're sending it. But in one of the programs, the code name was PRISM, as a result of the Edward Snowden link, will send a copy. It really not sending a copy of individual files. It's sending everything that's going over that fiber optic line. And there are many of them embedded in a cable, thousands. But yes, all the information will go to wherever you're sending it. But everything, it's like they're sending a copy of everything that's going over that fiber optic line is also being redirected. A copy is being redirected to one of these data centers to store the information. So it's collection and storage. They're collecting it. Yes, you better believe they're collecting it. And they're storing it. And it's not targeted. Only in the sense, if you're a human being communicating, if you're a human being on the planet today and you're using one of these communication lines that typically goes through the United States, and it doesn't necessarily have to go to the United States because there are other parties, you know, for example, who else is doing this? United Kingdom, Australia, or assisting the United States in doing it. Think of it as, I've used the analogy, we have a library. Matter of fact, I'm right under the library. I'm in the basement of El Paso, but above me is the library, and that has a huge collection of books, magazines, are the primary things, and they're continually ordering and receiving in books and magazines that they've ordered. Well, that would be an example of a targeted. They want a specific book, they want a specific magazine, and they're putting it in the collection. But what the NSA is doing is building this massive collection of all the communications of any human being on the planet Earth that's living today, and they've been doing this for about, oh, my guess is between 8 to 12 years. I don't know the exact date. So they have all that information, and it's automatic. Like I said, they're not, and here's the key point. Does that mean somebody's reading it or listening to it? No. Most of it, the answer is definitely no. Like anything else, even the National Security Agency, in my rough estimates, based on a little research, they have over 60,000 people working for them today. At one time, for example, after the Vietnamese War, they reached a peak of slightly under 100,000. They have more than 60,000 people. They have a budget. No one knows the budget because it's what they call a black programs. They're not spelled out anywhere. You can't really get it. You can get a ballpark figure. And again, my research is probably in the neighborhood of somewhere between 12 and 15 billion dollars. That's a lot of money. And it could be a lot more. Because I've seen some prior estimates that are a little old, so I'm doing a little extrapolation here. I'm in the ballpark, but who knows? And I don't really care. I'm just trying to give you the scope. They have a lot of money, a lot of people, a lot of resources, really state-of-the-art technology. They are on the leading edge. They have access to leading technologies. So they set about designing these facilities, making sure it had the right equipment so they could, and this is bulk, another description you'll hear, it's bulk collection. And it is a collection. Again, they're not targeting a specific individual. Now, here's the problem with it, because a lot of people will say, well, if that's what they're doing, I have no problem with that. I'm a law-abiding American citizen. My life is an open book. I don't break the law. I submit my tax returns. I'm just a good American citizen. Great. That's probably over 300 million Americans. And there's about 318 million Americans living in the United States today. I mean, that's the estimate of the Bureau of the Census. But that's a lot of information. Now, why should you worry? You should worry if you become a target. For whatever reason, if you become a target, then things change radically. Now, who are typical of the target? Terrorist would be a target. Anyone that poses a threat to the United States, its citizens and property, is a target. Foreign governments are a target, both friend and foe. Governments, military. You see, up until recently, most people have never heard of the National Security Agency. I have been interested in this field, so I definitely knew something about it. I don't pretend to be an expert on it. And there have been a few books written and a few articles written about it. But they're very much, they don't want to be in the news. They don't want to be in the courts. They don't want to be in the news. They don't want to be in front of Congress. They are now getting a lot of exposure that they really don't want as a direct result of Ed Snowden through various newspapers, giving these newspapers access to documents, including slide presentations, where what I just summarized are disclosed. And why it's important, this is the first time why many people have suspected that follow this and know the capabilities of the National Security Agency. I thought they were doing it actually years ago, probably starting sometime in the 90s. Remember, the internet came of age in the mid-90s. It was part of ARPANET prior to that, which was in the Defense Department, and it was a project linking universities so they could share information. I'm not going to give you the history of the internet, but I strongly suspected, not necessarily all the information, but a large percentage was being collected, especially if you were on a target list. And we've had some whistleblowers in the past, such as Bill Benny, Thomas Drake, and there are others that have disclosed bits and pieces. But you see, one of the things that the National Security Agency tries to do, especially if you're a whistleblower, they try to discredit you. You're a disgruntled employee. You're just trying to make money off of it. They're trying to demonize you and lower your credibility. And the problem is it's always going to be your word if you're a whistleblower against them. Their big problem with the Edward Snowden leaks of these documents, he confirmed what many knowledgeable people suspected for a long time. And I was a little surprised about the scope of it, but not completely surprised. And it's a very, very ambitious program. The goal is to capture communications of every human being. There are 7 billion human beings. Now, not the entire 7 billion have access to the internet, or for that matter, telephone line. But there are billions that definitely do, and they communicate over the internet. And to the extent that they communicate over the internet as well as telephone exchanges, and there are other ways to communicate, but those are the principal ones I'm highlighting here, the National Security Agency has collected and stored that information. So it looks like the NSA is in the news again. I'll give you a little bit more information on the next show. This is really a teaser, and I'm repeating some of what I've said in past shows. And the point, but let me summarize the point, should you ever become a target, then what happens? Then they start digging into this collection. Now, do they do that individually? No. An individual will sit down at a computer terminal and pull up a program and enter some key information such as your full name, your date of birth, your Social Security number, telephone number, address, driver's license number, some key attributes or properties of you, your email address if they know it, whatever key identifiers that they have. You know, for example, most people that drive a car have a license and they've registered that car. So what are they going to have? They're going to have a driver's license number, which includes your date of birth and your current address, at least when you got the license. You're also registering the car, so you have a license plate number that's tied to you. That's valuable information, but that's just one source of data, and that's something you need to keep in mind, and I'll explore tomorrow. Yes, they have their own collection of data that they're building and building and building every day, and it's growing and growing every day. It's a massive amount of information. But they definitely have the technology, both the hardware and the software, to do it. And so an intelligent analyst, will sit at a computer terminal. And if he has an order that you are on a target list, he's assigned you as a target. So he's going to collect information, both open source information that's readily available in the public domain, as well as any information from any other databases and other domains. For example, your financial transactions. What goods and services do you buy? What credit cards do you have? He's going to get your telephone records. Who do you call? Now, if you're new to this and still don't believe it can happen, I've recommended in past shows, and I did spend this week for, I think this is the second or third time I've looked at this movie, and if you haven't seen this movie, or if you have seen it and it's probably many years ago, take a little time. It's about a 2 hour and 20 minute movie, if it's that long. It's definitely 2 hours, and you can do this online. They have the entire movie online. Enemy of the State. That'll give you a clearer idea of what they can do. But remember, that technology, this movie came out in 1998, so it's at least 15 to 16 years old, because they're writing the script and all probably in the 95, 96, 97 time frame, and they have a fair idea of the capability of technology there. There have been dramatic, significant improvements in technology, and it's quite advanced in the movie, but you need to keep that one thing in mind. And several individuals, innocent people, became targets. I'm not going to spoil the movie for those first time that haven't seen the movie, but you should. And then you begin to appreciate why you should be outraged at what the National Security Agency is doing. What they're doing is contrary to the Constitution of the United States. It's a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights. Because the mission of the National Security Agency, and they have a very difficult job. I fully support having a National Security Agency, and frankly, having a bigger National Security Agency with even more resources. Why? Guess what? There are a lot of bad guys out there, evil people out there, that really want to do harm to the United States, want to kill people in the United States, destroy the United States, and they're literally millions of them. We're not talking a small number here. Small in relation to the entire population of the world, definitely. But it's still, when you add it up,
millions, maybe even hundreds of millions of people. And it's not just people, it's entities, militaries of foreign governments, such as Russia, Iran, China, North Korea. And those are and should be the principal primary targets, and there are others, of the National Security Agency. You see, the one problem they have, even when they target foreign nationals as well as governments, military organizations, one problem they have, there's a lot of problems, but they have several. A lot of these communications are encrypted, so they have to break those codes, and that's one of the things that the National Security does. They decode secret messages. So first they got to get access to the distribution of those messages, but even if they can collect and store that information, if you can't decode it, you're not going to be able to read it. Because why some of these messages are broadcast or sent in the clear, in other words, they're not encrypted, most of the important information of many of these countries are encrypted. And many of them are done under, or transmitted through communication lines that are buried in the ground. In other words, they're not radio communications or satellite communications. And the reason for that, guess what? Those government understand if you put anything on the internet or through the telephone exchanges or radio waves, it could be intercepted. And to the extent you do that, you want to make sure those messages are encrypted. And the National Security Agency has a terrific capability of doing that. But that takes time and resources and large computers to do it. But let's say they decrypt that information. In other words, they break the code. Then they have another problem. Someone has to read it that understands it. I don't read Russian. I don't read Chinese. You see the problem? You need to have people that first have the security clearance and have the capability of reading, writing, and understanding what's being said. And many, for example, Arabic has numerous dialects. So even you might be able to speak Arabic, but you don't speak Iraqi Arabic. They're, you know, every nation, every tribe has slightly different dialects. So even Arabic in general will help you, but you don't know the dialect. So you need linguists to when they decoded these messages, to actually read them. So you're beginning to see the problem. And one of the problems is they store these intercepts. Some they even have decoded, but they simply don't have the linguists that can read it. And they have a tremendous backlog. And ideally, you would try to automate that process, but that's a kind of hit and miss. And they're obviously looking for keywords to try to sort the priorities. Are you beginning to see the scope of the problem? I wish the National Security Agency would redirect and focus in on the top enemies of the United States, devote their resources. And I think the lion's share of the resources, that's what they're doing. What's getting me upset and a lot of other people upset are the law-abiding American citizens that actually support the National Security Agency but really take exception. They shouldn't be spying on Americans, and that means they shouldn't be collecting and storing my information or your information, period, full stop. No ifs, ands, or buts, or weasel words. And I don't rest assured when the director, General Keith Alexander, says, we don't read or listen to your phone conversation. General, you don't read and listen to my phone conversations now. But my concern is all you need are corrupt politicians, starting with the president, or an attorney general, people in the chain of command that have no scruples. They're corrupt criminals. In other words, people I don't trust, nor do I want to do business with. And in a past show, I went through some of the presidents, but I don't trust the president of the United States at all today, at all. And my concern is if you have a determined president, as well as people that work for him, that demand access, and they'll give you some explanation, but most of the military are going to salute and say, yes, sir, we want some individual targeted. We want all the information you have on whoever you are. Now, it should be, and they'll find some reason to classify you a threat and to put you on the so-called target list. And there are hundreds of thousands of people on the targets list, probably millions. And there's a certain ranking. But this is a formula for instant tyranny. And all it takes is a determined group of people. We're not talking millions or hundreds of thousands, but a few thousand people, probably less than that, where the National Security Agency could be compromised, where we have warrantless searches. You see, the Fourth Amendment protects you against warrantless searches and seizures. What we have now is what's called a general warrant. Another phrase uses dragnet. They're collecting all the information. They're on a fishing expedition, and they're building a massive and growing by the second database so that if for whatever reason, for example, I'm very critical of both the Republicans and Democratic Party. If you had what I would call a tyrant, an instant tyrant, in the White House or tyranny, and it's not just the White House. It's a political party. It can be in the Congress where they don't, the rule of law doesn't mean anything to them. They break the rules. And in their mind, the ends justify the means. And what are they doing? Well, let's say you are law-abiding. And I've said this in previous show, you probably have something in your life that's embarrassing to you. You see, one of the reasons they target you is to get leverage on you. Let's say they want to shut me up. In other words, shut down this program. They would look for anything that could be construed as embarrassing to me. Or you. Something you're not proud of. Or it could be just behavior. You're an alcoholic. You're a drug addict. You're a homosexual. You're a philanderer. You're a gambler. And you don't want the general public to know this. They will try to get this leverage. We have this information on you. And if you do not change your behavior, namely you stop talking this way and stop talking about the National Security Agency or their president, we're going to make sure that this information is planted in newspapers or on the television or the radio. That's what they do. Or we'll sick the Department of Justice on you. That's how it works. That's why every American should be concerned about this. This is what dictatorships or authoritarian regimes or tyrannies are all about. This is a secret surveillance police state. That capability is in place to just, with a flick of a finger, be turned on. And the way to do that, the way to do this is to target you. And what that means is an intelligence analyst sits at a desk, puts some key information in, and starts retrieving all this information with the purpose. And there's a lot of stuff that, frankly, is irrelevant. I understand that. But they're looking for dirt. That's the best way to say this. They are looking for dirt on you, to shut you up, to get leverage. They want to get you fired. So if they get certain derogatory information, they can either plant a story or have someone go to your employer and give them the information. And you could quickly find yourself out of a job, or you might be subject to investigation by the FBI or other law enforcement agencies. That's the danger. I've probably gone too long. I know I've gone too long already on this, and I will amplify a little bit tomorrow. But it is a breaking story. It's really, in my mind, it's confirming what we already know. But the phrase that really jumped out at me was untargeted collection and storage. That's a very, very good description. But you need to take it a step further. At any time, now and in the future, and for any reason, should you become a target. In other words, you get on a list. And many people get on the list are entirely innocent. That's, you need to understand. They haven't committed a crime, but for some reason they're on the list. The National Security Agency has the capability of then building a complete dossier. Think of it as a file or big file folder. And a lot of this is computerized because we live in a digital age. And they will have your key information as well as see what they do is they're trying to see what the relationships you have between people. They're looking at they're looking for patterns. They're looking for connection. They're looking at what you spend your money on. But they're primarily looking for leverage or information that provides them leverage. It's like a blackmail, and that's probably a better word to say it. It's intimidation, folks. It might be to intimidate you to inform on somebody else. That's why you need to use your imagination. And that movie, Enemy of the State, shows you how they use that information. This is a very powerful agency, a very advanced agency, an agency whose people are very, very loyal and committed and like and liked to work there. As one of the characters in the movie said, I love working there. But he had a problem, had to leave. But he understood the capabilities of the National Security League. The movie tends to focus on their bugging and following, but there's parts of that movie that show you how they go about getting information. And again, I'm not going to spoil the movie and give it away, but the only reservation I have is, remember, this was technology 1998 or prior to this. That's 15 years ago. Let me tell you, there's been dramatic advances, dramatic. And the reason why they, listen, 20, 30 years ago, the National Security Agency really couldn't do this. They didn't have the technology. They didn't have the hardware, the software to do it. Now they do. And they're always going to be ahead of the curve. There are things they're doing that probably I can't imagine, and even people that know the technology might not imagine. But they're doing it. And the reason they do it is they're trying to protect, when they're focused in on their primary mission, the people of the United States and their property and the country against enemies of the United States. And there are millions of them. So don't take this as being a criticism. Well, it is a criticism of the NSA. But we need a national security agency. What we don't need is this bulk massive collection of so-called untargeted collection and storage of information on Americans. Now, the reason I'm kind of emphasizing this story, tomorrow, the President of the United States is going to have a press conference where he's at least going to summarize reforms to the National Security Agency. Now, I don't want to prejudge this, but my gut is telling me, yeah, there are going to be some window dressing changes, but I'm not impressed that anything's going to be done, quite frankly. I think it's going to require new laws and changes to new laws and rescinding of existing laws before anything is really accomplished. I simply am one of millions, probably hundreds of millions of Americans that no longer trust the United States government, nor do I trust the president, nor do I trust most of the people that are in our House of Representatives and Senate. And I say that because they don't deserve our trust. They've lied to us. And that's the perfect segue into my second story that was really going to be the lead story. A report came out yesterday. The United States Senate Select Committee on Intelligence published a report, and it's a bipartisan report. In other words, the signatures of the people that put out the report are both Democrats and Republicans. And the title of the report was Terrorist Attacks on U.S. Facilities in Benghazi, Libya, on September 11th and 12th, 2012. In other words, during the election year. The report is 85 pages long. I have skimmed it and looked for certain information. I think very few people have read the entire report. A few have, and I will confess right up front why I skimmed it. I didn't have time to read 85 pages. But I'm going to some extent, bottom line it, but I'm also going to, and I'm probably going to continue, I know I'm going to continue this into my Friday show. It focuses on, obviously, the terrorist attack. The major conclusion is that there was a militia group, and I always get the name wrong, I always mispronounce this. Anyway, this militia group is affiliated with Al-Qaeda. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. They planned and executed the attack on the so-called diplomatic facility where Ambassador Stevens was killed, as well as another State Department employee. Several were wounded, and then CIA security people that were about a mile away in the so-called CIA annex came to their rescue, got the survivors out. Went missing was Ambassador Stevens. He was really killed by asphyxiation because what happened is the attackers burned down the facility. So there's a lot of toxic fumes in those buildings, and that's why I believe the two people that the ambassador and the Stephen Smith died in that facility, mainly from the smoke, the toxic smoke. Now, Stephen Smith's body was pulled out, but the ambassadors went missing. That's the first attack. There have been several attacks, but the CIA security people that got, there were, I forget the exact number. There were about a dozen people at the diplomatic facility. They were rescued and taken to the annex. Now, that was a running gun battle to get out of the compound, as well as when they were going through the streets. Remember, this is in Benghazi. They were attacked. And then they finally got back to the annex, and then later that night or in the morning of the next day, that's why it's the September 11th, 12th, two of the security people that helped in the rescue were killed by mortar fire, very effective mortar fire. They were also sending in rocket-propelled grenades, but it was the mortars that killed them. The key point, and very important point, is this was a planned and organized attack that the powers that be, and what I mean by that, the chain of military command, namely General Hamm, was in Washington, D.C., in his office in the Pentagon. He's head of Africa Command, and in a previous show I made a mistake. He's a four-star general, lieutenant general in the Army. He got the message from Africa Command within about 15 minutes of the attack that this was a planned attack, a terrorist attack. And he reported that to the chiefs of staff, as well as to the Secretary of Defense. And it just so happens the chief of staff, as well as the Secretary of Defense, the chief of staff is General Dempsey, and Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, had a meeting at the White House. I believe it was a 5:30 meeting. So as they're going to that White House meeting, they were already informed that this was a terrorist attack. There was no doubt about it. It was not a spontaneous protest or demonstration. That never happened. It was not a result of a YouTube video. Never mentioned in any of the communication was a YouTube video, nor the fact that this was a result of a protest or demonstration that got out of hand. The people that burned down and killed American citizens, both that worked in the State Department, as well as diplomatic security agents, as well as CIA employees. Four people were killed. Many were injured, several seriously. This was a professional attack. Now, here's the thing. Other European countries, such as Great Britain, they had been attacked in the prior month, and there were communications that they were going to attack the United States personnel in Benghazi. Remember, Tripoli is the capital of Libya. That's about 500 miles west of Benghazi. The ambassador really didn't have enough security people, and the facility really was not up to the standards of the State Department. And that's one of the findings, that the State Department really did not give the ambassador and the people there enough security, nor did they upgrade their own State Department's standards for security. Because remember, some of our embassies and consulates are in very, very dangerous area, and Benghazi is probably in the top 10, if not the first. Benghazi was a very dangerous place for any American to be, and in particular, American ambassador and CIA there. Now, I don't have time to give you more details, but let me tell you my gut reaction to it. Well, this is all well and good, and you can blame, and there's a lot of blame for the State Department for really not protecting their own people. And there's also issues about the military being prepared to assist these people if they were attacked. They weren't prepared. Even though the attack was on September 11th, the anniversary of 9/11, September 11, 2001. You should have expected or been on much higher alert level because of it, that alone. And they were well aware of previous attacks on other European nations got out of Benghazi. We were the last ones there. Now, the $64,000 question is, and this report does not address this. This is why I'm glad they put it out. I'm glad it was bipartisan. What are they not addressing? And I'll get to this in my Friday show. You know, if I had to ask just one question of the President of the United States, one question. Now, there are literally dozens or hundreds of questions that are still unanswered. But the one threshold question is, Why was the Central Intelligence Agency in Benghazi, Libya? What were they doing there? What was their mission? In other words, why were they there? This is one of the most dangerous places to be. There are many other ones, but there are people that are Al-Qaeda all around. This area has become a refuge for Al-Qaeda, and they're also warring militias. In other words, this is not a place to go on a vacation. And if you're a CIA agent, you have a target on your head. And I need to say this. If you're a CIA agent spying on the activities of a foreign nation, you better be very, very, very good at practicing your tradecraft, your professional skills. Because if you're caught, you will be tried. Well, first, you'll probably be tortured, maybe executed, if not shot. I mean, shot even before that. You got to be very, very, you got to watch your back. You got to be really aware of the situation. In other words, it's a very dangerous situation for any spy, and that's what the CIA does, spy, but that's not the only thing they do. They engage in what's called covert operations or covert actions. Now, they're not supposed to engage in that activity unless the President of the United States has signed a finding. And that finding has been reviewed by 8 people in Congress, including the chairmen of the Senate and House Intelligence Committee and the majority and minority leadership in Congress and the Speaker of the House. There's 8 people in Congress that are well aware that the President of the United States has signed a secret finding regarding Libya, and it should have some details of Benghazi. In other words, they knew why the CIA was there. That's why we haven't really had in the House a select committee to really investigate this, and that what needs to be done. There are literally hundreds of unanswered questions. And this is speculation on my part, but there's a lot backing it. There's a lot of public available information. And what the CIA was doing, besides gathering some intelligence of what was happening in the Benghazi area, but their primary mission was to gather arms and men, but primarily arms, including surface-to-air missiles, shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missiles that can be used to take out aircraft, military aircraft, as well as civilian aircraft, such as passenger jets. And to once they accumulated arms, aggregated these arms in Benghazi at the annex, put them on either a ship or an airplane to Turkey to be then transshipped into Syria and given to the Syrian rebels, many of them who are Al-Qaeda. That is the dirty secret that the president does not want out. That's why the president of the United States, the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the UN Ambassador Susan Rice, as well as Jay Carney and others in this administration, have lied from the get-go as to what happened in Benghazi. Remember, the president was running for re-election. And the theme of the campaign is, I'm the one that killed bin Laden, and I have Al-Qaeda on the run. That is a bald-faced lie, because they knew from the very beginning that this was a planned attack by an organization affiliated with Al-Qaeda, Islamic fanatics that want Americans dead, including an ambassador. I think they were trying to kidnap him. And so it gets back, and that's why the president did it. He wanted this was never anticipated as to happen. They did not want the spotlight on Benghazi. That is why the president, the Secretary of State, is lied about this. This was a result of a spontaneous protest and demonstration resulting from a YouTube video. That's laughable. That has been proven totally convincingly that's a lie by communications within minutes of the attack on the diplomatic facility and the subsequent attack on the CIA annex. He lied to the American people. Why? To get reelected. He didn't want this to be news. He didn't want this to be on the front pages or on the television networks. And the national media obliged him. Yeah, there were some stories. But none of this has come out. And they're still stonewalling. There were approximately three dozen, 36 CIA either employees or contract personnel in Benghazi. And the House Oversight Committee has been trying to get their names and to interview them to find out what happened on September 11th and 12th. And part of the questions they're going to ask, obviously, is the question I ask. Why were you there? Why was the CIA in Benghazi? And they do not want these people to disclose that information. Because this is explosive information. Because if you're an American, especially ones that use airliners, there is a probability, probably small but still there, that one of these surface-to-air missiles, and let me forgive you some background information, our own intelligence and military estimated that Gaddafi had somewhere between 10,000 and 20,000 surface-to-air missiles scattered on various military bases, Army, Navy, Air Force, in various lockers, warehouses, vaults, if you will, that were broken into by enemies of the United States, namely Al-Qaeda. That was a big concern. You see, here's what happens when you start to intervene in other countries. I'm no fan of Gaddafi. I'm glad he's dead. But here's the problem. As a result of doing another covert operation, CIA was heavily involved in that, we now have weapons, including weapons that could kill Americans, they all could kill, scattered throughout Libya. Because what happened? The rebels broke into all those lockers. Some of the missiles and some of the arms are accounted for, but many others are not. And what the CIA was going to do is turn around and ship the weapons that they could gather to where? To Syria, through Turkey, to arm the Syrian rebels to fight against Assad. Again, I wish the Assad regime would go. But the problem is the other side is dominated by religious Islamic fanatics, namely Al-Qaeda, that are enemies of the United States. There's no good side in Syria. That's the point. The CIA should not be shipping arms to these guys, but they're doing it at the direct orders of the President of the United States. You see, the President, as well as the Secretary of State, thought they could get away with it, thought that Syria would be a pushover. They seem to forget that the major allies of the Assad regime are who? Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. It's a powder keg. It's a formula for another world war. You see the recklessness, the danger of this whole covert operation? That's why the president doesn't want the CIA people there to testify. They don't want them to talk to this committee, either in private or in public. This is damning explosive information. It's impeachable information. And they've been stonewalling it and hiding these people and shipping around, intimidating. Remember I said, what does the NSA do? They're looking for leverage. They don't want anyone that was in Benghazi to tell their story. They're making or trying to make them sign non-disclosure statements. The Central Intelligence Agency is doing it, not the NSA. Remember, the best way to focus or summarize the Benghazi situation, this was a covert operation of the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. It's an espionage mission. It's a deep black mission, and its primary mission was the shipping of arms. Because what was the ambassador was the cover. He was leading this exercise, even though he's a State Department employee. He He was getting arms throughout Europe and shipping in them to Libya to overthrow the Gaddafi regime, and now he was doing the same and unfortunately got killed. That's the scandal of Benghazi. That's the cover-up of Benghazi. That's the stonewalling that's going on as we speak. And guess what? This Select Committee intelligence report on the terrorist attacks doesn't address any of this. This is really to try to sweep it under the rug. And they got to blame someone. Yes, the State Department is going to be the fall guy. And to a certain extent, Hillary Clinton is going to be the fall guy. But the important questions simply have not been asked because the people that could answer the question have not been made available to the various congressional committees that are investigating this. The White House, as well as the Obama administration, are not cooperating with these congressional investigations. This is the absolute last thing that they want to be exposed. They're willing to tell blatant lies to cover this up. It hasn't worked. And they're still stonewalled. And we have people in the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party that are a party to this. They were knowledgeable of this secret finding that the president signed. They knew why the CIA was there, at least in general terms. They don't want it investigated. They don't want the American people to know. Our enemy knows what's going on. But they don't want the American people to know because this is politically explosive. This is dynamite, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you're seeing a massive cover-up. And this is just one example of how the National Security Agency could be used to gather information on reporters or people like me or anybody else to get leverage to shut me and other people up. And I'm not the only one speaking about this. It is all over talk radio and has been for months. Unfortunately, there's been very little of what I call corporate or mainstream media that will touch this. They're scared of this because they know if the information came out, this would be the fall of the Obama administration. The American people would be outraged at it. They're already mad at it, but this would take it to another level, and we have an election in November of 2014. So I hope at least those in Congress that are aware of what's going on keep pressing it. And I'm going to keep talking about both the National Security Agency as well as the Benghazi scandal. It is a scandal, folks. Not a phony scandal, not a contrived crisis. We have people in the administration, key players that lied. If they're willing to lie and willing to cover up, what won't they do? You see why I don't trust Obama and his administration and the government? We have a political elite in the United States that frankly doesn't give a damn about the American people. The only thing they really care about is keeping their job, keeping the power that they have. It is corrupt to the core. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening. I hope it's been both educational, entertaining, and enlightening. And please join me tomorrow afternoon, Friday, from 3 to 5, where I'll give my weekly wrap-up of the key stories this week, as well as do a little more amplification of what the National Security Agency has done and any points that I might have missed on the Benghazi scandal, as well as what I anticipate will be the breaking news. Now, we're going to have some breaking news tomorrow because the president, I don't know what time the press conference is called for, but he's going to announce his so-called reforms of the National Security Agency, which I don't think are going to, I think it's window dressing, folks. But that's my opinion. Thank you. Next week starts, the classes start next Tuesday, so if you haven't registered, you better do it by now or add or drop classes. Looking forward to a new semester starting Tuesday. Celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday Monday, but classes start Tuesday. Thank you. Have a great day.